Hello and welcome to the Leaders in Supply Chain and Logistics podcast. I am your host, Rado Palamariu, Global Logistics and Supply Chain Practice Head for Morgan Phillips Executive Search. Specializing on board level and executive recruitment across the region, my job is also to connect you with global experts, thought leaders and executives in all things supply chain. This is episode 13 and I'm happy to have with us today Damien Delem, who is the country president for Schneider Electric Singapore. In this role, Damien is responsible for the alignment of corporate strategy and business orientation, as well as oversight of all commercial initiatives, operations and implementations. Prior to the role as country president, Singapore, Damien led the end-to-end supply chain organization for Schneider Electric in East Asia and East Asia, Japan and Pacific across 18 countries. He first joined Schneider Electric 23 years ago and had since held various positions in the supply chain function of manufacturing, logistics, as well as procurement and sourcing. Having lived in Asia for 14 years, Damien has diverse experience in the region. He moved to Singapore in the summer of 2013, having spent 4 years in Bangalore, India, as well as 5 years in Shanghai, China. He holds a degree in electrical engineering, as well as an MBA from EDHEC Business School in France. Damien, welcome, and it is a pleasure to have us to have you with us today.
Thank you, Radu. The pleasure is mine as well.
So let's dive in and tell our listeners, of course, Schneider Electric, a few words about Schneider Electric is the leading digital transformation of energy management and automation in homes, in buildings, in data centers, in infrastructure and industries. Most likely, all of us have or use the products in our homes or in our offices. It's a company that has a global presence in over 100 countries and is basically, Schneider is the undisputable leader in power management. One of our listeners had a question because the future of the world by 2040, in terms of the demand of energy, it's estimated to be 2 times more than present. So the question goes, how do you see the company in the future and how do you expect the company to adapt to this massive growth?
Yeah, for sure. Actually, the demand for electricity is growing and growing. At the same time, we have to take care of our planet. So on one side, we're going to double the electrical consumption. On the other side, we have to reduce by 2 our carbon emission. So you put the 2 together and we have to become 4 times more efficient. And this is what at Schneider Electric, we want to provide to our customer. We want to help our customer make the most of their energy, be more efficient, while at the same time ensuring that the energy remains safe for everyone.
That's an important addendum. And I know that you have made significant investments in order to achieve this goal. In Singapore alone, you've strengthened your presence. You will invest 65 million euros over the next couple of years to have the regional center here. You have the Software Industry Solution Center, a software regional hub, a new East Asia headquarter, and a regional control tower for network logistics, analytics, and transportation, all of which will be done out of Singapore. So can you tell us a little bit more about the goals and objectives of this new development?
Yeah, sure, Radu. First of all, we're not new to Singapore. We've been here for 45 years, all right? And we have today more than 1,400 people here in Singapore. Now, if we look what our organization is made of in Singapore, it's a combination of local team, which are the teams I'm leading, serving the countries and the customers we have in Singapore, with regional teams on the commercial side, on the business unit side, where we have an expertise center for data center, we have an expertise center for process automation, and of course, a strong supply chain organization, which is basically overviewing from Singapore the whole region. And that's the team I was leading before. So Singapore has over the year become, I would say, the natural place for us to be when it comes to really influencing the region. Now, Singapore is really providing also an ecosystem which help us move forward with what we call EcoStruxure, which is the integrated, I would say, architecture, combining both our product system solution and software for our customers. Because in Singapore, you have the size, which is good enough to mean something, as well at the same time, the customers, the government agencies, authorities, which really are ready to take risk together with you and test new things. So really, over 45 years and with the recent development and vision, for example, about Singapore becoming a smart nation, and we believe at Schneider Electric that we can contribute to this vision of a smart nation, it has become the natural choice for us to increase further the investment as well as the setup we have here in Singapore.
Mm. And I think it makes sense. And Singapore also is proud to be a center where you can find a lot of skills, a lot of talent, a lot of people that can push organizations forward. So I think from creating those centers of expertise here, it tends to be a very good center.
For sure, Radu. And the latest examples I could mention is we just signed a memorandum of agreement with both NTU and NUS to drive together, I would say, training and education programs to welcome interns from both universities to hire from this university to send some of these students abroad. So clearly to deepen further the partnership, and not just with the engineering team or department of NTU and NUS, but also the software, I would say, team and education program, but also business and financial, so in all aspects.
No, and thanks for mentioning that. And for our listeners, just to explain the acronyms, NTU and NUS are the top two universities, the National Technical University and the National University of Singapore. So they're reputable educational institutions, of course. And that's, I didn't know about the initiative, and that's to be appreciated. And I think it will further develop the talent at the end of the day that will continue to take Schneider Electric.
Definitely.
And moving to the point where you did mention that supply chain is key to Schneider Electric. You have a great center of excellence here. You have a control tower organization here. You control most of the ecosystem in the region from Singapore. But let me ask you, how can an agile, digital and flexible supply chain be a unique selling proposition to the business?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question, even more now that I've moved on the commercial side. Just a little bit of background. We started in Schneider Electric the tailored supply chain transformation, TSC as we called it in the first place, in 2011, when Annette Clayton came on board, coming from Dell as the chief supply chain officer for Schneider Electric. We moved to the tailored supply chain 2.0 in 2015, which really was clearly about defining or developing a supply chain that is close to the customers, depending on the customer profile expectation, and therefore industrializing capabilities, and we call them customer process capabilities, that were fitting the need of the different type and profiles of customers. Now the time has come for us to move to what we call TSC 4.0. It's not anymore just tailored supply chain. It's tailored, it's sustainable, and it's a connected supply chain. Now, giving one more example about Singapore. Singapore has been the first place where we set up worldwide a network of 10 control towers on the supply chain side. So it's the first one of a network of 10 different control towers. And it plays a key role when it comes to overviewing our import and export flows out of Asia Pacific, one, but also step by step integrating the last mile visibility of the delivery. We deliver millions of lines. If I take Singapore alone, it's more than 10,000 lines to our customers per month. And clearly we are now moving to a situation where we want to be able to track these delivery lines until the last mile, until they reach the customer hands, so that we can move into a model where we don't only apologize to the customer for being late when we are, but we tell our customers that we're going to be late in advance. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot about really moving into a predictive kind of a supply chain where you anticipate the problems before they happen.
Yes, and that is increasingly important in today's context. And with digitalization, I think everybody's talking about it. Very few people are doing it. It's an excellent example that you walked us through this journey of transformation that you've done at Schneider. And whilst we don't have this question inside, but I'd love to ask you just a little bit deeper. If we are to share with our audience, in this journey that you spearheaded when you were the head of supply chain, what were some of the key learnings that you took? And if you were to share some key takeaways or key elements?
Well, one of the key learnings for me was really to avoid thinking in a supply chain silo only. And when we developed the customer process capabilities within the supply chain, and again, there's over 20 of them about really, as I said, the last mile delivery, so live visibility of your orders, the notion of a kitting for customer OEM versus receiving one big box with a bunch of products to receive 10 sets that will allow them to build the different machines they have to build, et cetera. So the key thing for me was not to develop them into silos, but really get close to the business and hear the voice of the customers.
Mm.
Because there could be a risk that on the supply chain side, you do great things, but at the end of the day, you miss the real pain point of your customers.
Yeah, so, and that happens a lot, doesn't it? And basically, a lot of people operate disconnected to the real need of the client at the end of the day and of the customer. And supply chain is a function that should, at the end of the day, support the business to support the client. So if you operate as a silo, basically you're not achieving the target.
There's another good example I could use, and I'm challenging a lot my previous team on that these days, is we've had for many years a race to the what we call the on-time delivery to the customer, OTDC. Okay, and we are now more or less between 96% to 98% versus the commitment we've made to the customer, which is, I think, is a very good performance. Now, the key question for me is, do we want to move from 97% to 98% with really the heavy lifting behind, or do we want to really tackle the 2-3% of the lines or the time where we're late and really see how we really manage with 2-3% to avoid as possible the dissatisfaction from the customer? And to me, this is the challenge we have to face today, is to say, look, at 96%, 97%, 98%, we believe we are best in class already. Now let's make sure that when we are going to be late, we move into a model where we can inform the customers in advance, thanks to an integrated supply chain, that we're going to be late. We can make sure that the second commitment we will give him will be 100% reliable. We'll not miss again the second commitment. And eventually, if really it's a clear matter that the customer cannot wait, you know, for a few days for the products to reach his premises, to find solutions with him in advance. That's, to me, the challenge we have to face now, rather than the continuous, I would say, race towards a KPI improvement, which will have very little meaning.
Yes. And of course, being totally mindful and aware that some of the products that you deliver, and we can talk about generators, we can talk about equipments that power entire buildings, the time sensitivity is extremely high. And basically, you need to be able to inform those clients that, look, guys, we might be late, because it will disrupt your business and it will disrupt the flow.
Exactly. Another example I use all the time is panel builder, which are basically companies that make electrical switchboard and panels, is a strong channel for us to distribute our products. Right now, when these people, they have 700,000 or millions euros of projects, you know, in their workshop, and you miss to deliver to them a single push button, red or green one, that is probably worth $2 or $3 only. They can not only invoice and close their project, right? So they are penalized the first time, but then they're penalized the second time because the space they're using in their workshop, especially in countries like Singapore, where space is really a key element, you penalize them a second time because they can start the next project.
So the cost adds up quite significantly.
And the dissatisfaction moves very high, even though you've been giving them a perfect service on 99% of the lines of the delivery. Just by missing this single simple item, you could mess up the whole business.
Yes, excellent example. Thanks for sharing that. And if we had to talk a little bit about because there's a lot of new technologies and a lot of new buzzwords and developments in the industry, and blockchain is one of them. So what do you think, and a question from Yasir from our audience, what do you think will be the impact of blockchain in supply chain?
Well, I think blockchain is bringing a lot of opportunities. And actually, if we think about it, it's somehow ticking a lot of boxes that we've been looking for quite a while. When it comes to speed, when it comes to transparency, when it comes to efficiency by simplifying things, reducing bureaucracy, blockchain brings a lot of opportunities. So, of course, it brings opportunities within the supply chain, but it also brings opportunities in our own business, which is about, the distribution of energy, energy management. We're not a producer of energy. We help distribute the energy and help our customers consume the energy that has been distributed to them. So for me, definitely blockchain in general, in supply chain, of course, is bringing a lot of opportunities.
Yes. Digitalization. Let's talk for a moment about this. A key enabler of digitalization is basically the collection and management of data. As such, Internet of Things plays a key role. So I was reading a statistic that in just 2 years, there will be 10 times more connected things than connected people in the world. Actually, it's from Jean Pascal. He published a paper on this, the CEO of Schneider Electric. Yeah. Now that so many smart machines and other assets have become connected, the amount of generated data is incredible. 90% of all the data generated from connected things was created over the last 2 years. So the key question is, or the key questions, what has Schneider Electric started to implement in terms of Internet of Things tools or devices to help you guys manage your supply chains better?
Yes, so, and that's very correct. I could take here as an office building where we have, office people and some R&D, but we also have a small workshop when it comes to integration of a process automation solution for very specific segment like oil and gas, for example. We have in this building more than 3,000 connected points, right? And through all these connected points, which is a big acceleration, we had less than 100 in the previous building, basically. And so clearly we see the exponential growth of connected devices. Now, for many, many years, the question has been, what do you do with this data? Which it's impossible for a human kind to analyze by himself, etc. For me, the big transformation is thanks to artificial intelligence, thanks to analytics, thanks to algorithm, you're able now to treat and manipulate this data and basically move from, I would say, a situation where you've been, in the best cases, reading the present to a situation where you can start to predict the future. And this is also what we are developing and implementing in our own factories, all right, where clearly we have to walk the talk and implement the solution we propose to our customer, what we call EcoStruxure for machine at the machine level, or EcoStruxure plant, which is at the full plant, which is about connected factory, connected machine, analyzing real time what's going on, the efficiency of your process, anticipating the problems that are going to happen. So really in the past 3 years, we've seen a massive transformation and really acceleration on how we can use all this data that are collecting to make a meaning, to make sense.
Yes. And I mean, it's mind-boggling in terms of the sheer scale and volumes of data and exponential growth. So I think there's the potential for you to do a lot of things, and obviously you're spearheading the way in terms of that.
Sure, sure. And we have more than 2,500 people, three factories and a logistic platform in Batam. People would think, and you could have asked me the question, oh, it's a low-cost country, you go there for manual labor, etc. Well, we've been in Batam for more than 25 years, and I can tell you today our factories in Batam have nothing to worry or to be ashamed versus the factories we have in the US, in Europe, in China, etc. We're all working on common standards, and we have a lot of automation in Batam, which is one of the pilot sites when it comes to a virtual augmented reality for the maintenance team when it comes to fixing problems on the production lines and anticipating issues, when it comes to connected machine and the algorithm that are helping us increase the NOE and the efficiency of the machine, when it comes to energy efficiency and monitoring live the energy you consume and therefore anticipating where the energy bill is going to land, when it comes to carbon emission also, because this is something we made commitment on, to be a carbon neutral company by 2030. And the journey has already started for us, making sure that every day all our sites are using Schneider solutions to measure the carbon emission they generate and therefore work on a continuous improvement dynamic. So a lot of examples I could give you are really how digitization and IoT is changing our own landscape when it comes to supply chain.
Good to hear. And I mean, that's a very good example with Batam. To be honest, I wasn't aware myself. So it's impressive to hear the common standards that you're using in the different factories, because indeed a common, let's call it misconception, would be that indeed being a cheap labor market, then you wouldn't apply the same standards. So thank you for sharing that example. A question moving a little bit in terms of the role that you guys see and Schneider Electric sees in the 3PLs, in the logistics service providers that you're working with to help you achieve the supply chain efficiencies that that you want. What do you see as their role, the role of the 3PL in working with companies such as Schneider Electric in 5 to 10 years' time?
Well, let's maybe start with the roles of the 3PLs today. Huh? We have, of course, and that's one of our key strengths. Huh? We believe we have a pretty integrated supply chain. Huh? Historically, we have always had a very strong manufacturing footprint. Huh? We manufacture by ourselves more than 90% of what we sell to our customers in our own factories. We have a network of almost 200 factories worldwide. Definitely, and when Annette Clayton came on board, she made very quickly the evaluation that we were very strong on the manufacturing side. We started very early, the equivalent of a Toyota lean manufacturing through the Schneider Production System, which is a worldwide global standard we use for our own factories, which again comes back to the earlier point that our factories, whether you are in the world, you are expected to be at the same level. There's no such a low-cost labor factory versus high-cost smart countries type of factories. Now, she made the assessment that we had to really transform ourselves in the logistic as well as in the procurement purchasing scopes or space. On the logistic side, the 3PLs have a key role to play to help us with this transformation. And this is why in the past 5 years, we've really revisited the way we engage with the 3PLs to really make them become strong partners of our supply chain journey. Right, and not just suppliers, okay, or mover of boxes. We could be another way to illustrate that. So we need to make them become partners of our supply chain transformation. And then when you ask me where should they be 5 or 10 years from now? Well, I mean, these guys are the expert in their own domain, and they are the front line when it comes to innovation in their own domain. So we expect when we talk about IoT, we expect when we talk about digitization, that they're going to come to us and make the proposal to really serve our customers better when it comes to last mile delivery visibility, when it comes to, as I mentioned earlier, moving from a curative or preventive to a predictive supply chain and information to the customer. So they have a key role to play as partners in this journey and transformation. Mm.
Another key technology that is coming up, another key buzzword is artificial intelligence. Axel is asking, how do you see AI impacting the future of supply chain, and what will this do to your workforce?
Yeah, I somehow touched a point just earlier is when you talk about AI, I think personally about machine learning. And to me, again, when it comes back, coming back to our supply chain / factories, definitely I see a big evolution there. Again, the notion of anticipation, moving in factories, right? Your uptime of your machine is clearly an obsession. I mean, what keeps a plant manager awake at night, among other things, is the idea to think that his factories is idle, that basically is not producing, there's no output, right? So the many years ago, we tried to move, right? We structured the preventive maintenance, right? To avoid the curative maintenance, right? Now, clearly, and then we've been dreaming about the predictive maintenance. Now, I think thanks to artificial intelligence, thanks to machine learning, that's the reality. Because if you think about the preventive maintenance, somehow it's kind of stupid to some extent. You are going to define a plan where every month you're going to go back to machine A, B, C and do this task of cleaning, changing spare, etc. But if you analyze this further, you would realize that the machine A has been running much more than the machine B and C, that the guy who was running the machine A was maybe, if you think of a car and the driver was not as smooth driver and the guy running the machine B, etc. So you should do a different type of maintenance on your machine A, maybe a deeper one, when the machine B would just require maybe just touch up. But if you are in a pure preventive maintenance mode, you will do the same type of maintenance for all the three machines. When you move to a predictive maintenance, maybe the machine A, you'll come back to it after 2 weeks and not after 1 month. Maybe the machine B, you leave it alone for 3 months, right? And that's, to me, that's really, really one of the strong, I would say, evolution and transformation digitization and artificial intelligence in the supply chain world, at least in the manufacturing world, which is really transforming also the work of the maintenance team, the work of the production teams.
And what would be, talking about automation and talking about one of, I mean, you have a lot of products around it and you supply incredible solutions to your clients. But what's the plan to support customers when it comes specifically to their automation strategies, which is something that a lot of them are faced with and a lot of them are trying to do nowadays?
Yeah, sure. Definitely the first thing for us is to walk the talk. So we want our factories, and I give you the example of Batam, but the same could apply to our Bangpoo factory in Thailand, our factories in China. Actually, there was just recently an investor's day for our key shareholders where we took them to China to our Wuhan factory to demonstrate what does Industry 4.0 mean for Schneider Electric in a Chinese factory, right? Rather than to take them to a US or French factory, to take them to China and really showcase what we do in this field. So walking the talk and really developing the state of our enhancing, implementing the state of the art automation solution that we have inside our factory, test baying them as well, making sure we use our factories for proof of concept as pilot when it comes to new solution. And then after a partnership or partnering with some of our suppliers, helping them their automation journey. And I'm very happy if you look today, for example, on YouTube, we just released, it's more on the building space and the building management and power management space, but we just released a joint video on YouTube with Bolloré Logistics, which is one of a long-term partner for Schneider in the logistics field, where we explain together with Bolloré Logistics how we help them, I would say, ensure that their building is more efficient and therefore that their customers are more satisfied. So really leveraging our suppliers as partner also in the automation journey, and of course, definitely trying to sell it and promote it to our customers. Mm.
Final question in terms of the industry related segment, and it's a hard one for a lot of people, but it's a good one to ask. So if you were an investor, which technology or technology trend in supply chain would you invest in and why?
I have to be careful, right? First of all, I'm not an investor. I'm a weak one. We have not published our quarterly results yet, so also I cannot say much about Schneider Electric. But more seriously, I want to think of myself as a manufacturing guy, first of all. I feel like I grew up in the workshop, in the factories, etc. So to me, I'm very sensitive towards what we just discussed around artificial intelligence and machine learning, with the idea that really we can now start to predict the future when it comes to automation and process, but also when it comes to the life of your building, etc. And for sure, moving from preventive to predictive is really a big game changer for plant manager and for the supply chain world in general. So that would be, I would say, any company, any people working on really artificial intelligence, machine learning, etc. That always triggers a lot of attention from my side.
Mm. Got it. Moving on to people, it's what we do. It's basically the glue and the key element that moves any business forward. We've had a very interesting question because, for example, yourself, you've been with the company for more than 20 years. Your original CEO, Tommy Leung, is from the outside world. He joined Schneider Electric somewhere in his career. Your global CEO, Jean-Pascal Tricouard, has also had a very long-standing career with Schneider Electric. I think he's been with most of his professional life with the company. But how do you select your leadership teams in Schneider? What are some of the attributes that you're looking for?
Yeah, so you're right that I think we're now at a stage where if you look at the ex-com members or the top management of Schneider, it's going to be a combination of people who grew from the ranks, like our CEO Jean-Pascal Tricouard, which started with the company, I believe, 30 years ago, or people that came from outside and brought together with, together with them, the expertise, the experience they've had in different fields. Because there's been a shift in the past 5-6 years for Schneider Electric in this field where we acknowledge that also we could not know everything. And it was good also to accelerate the mix of culture, of profile, experience. And this is where we started to recruit more and more. So I would say people from outside at different level, including at the leadership level. Now, the common theme behind this, and there's a link with the culture, is just one important point is we believe that we are a global company. I mean, our journey in China started in the mid 80s. Our first joint venture, and I used to run this factory among others in Tianjin, called Tianjin Menagerie, was founded in 1987. We had our first factory in India at the end of the 90s. Etc. We moved to Batam in the early 90s. One of the first company to move from Singapore to Batam. By the way, following the request or the call from the Singapore government back then. So we are a global company, and we are a diverse company with all different type of profiles. So to me, we say, what sort of attributes are you looking for? Yeah, it's going to be about diversity, the richness of the profile, probably the humility, people who are ready to learn, down to earth, collaborative, because China Tech is a very complex company, sometimes maybe too complex. So you have to be able to collaborate with a lot of different stakeholders, so that at the end of the day, you make the most of Schneider Electric for your customers, and then be performance driven, which is of course also essential always.
And since you brought the topic, and I think this is something that we had one of our listeners also, Mark, ask a question. Because cultural diversity is certainly something that you again walk the talk as a company. Schneider Electric is certainly the most Asian. He was saying the most Asian of the French 40 companies. You have your CEO based in Hong Kong. How did you manage? Maybe just go a little bit one level deeper in terms of sharing with us. How did you manage this change and this shift to a multi-geography, a multicultural global company coming at the end of the day coming from France?
Yeah, but I think, frankly, that's very strange for us at Schneider Electric when we have this question, because it's very natural. I mean, as I mentioned to you, we moved to China more than 30 years ago. China is every year competing with the U.S. as the first country from a revenue and sales point of view for Schneider Electric. So Asia Pacific is our biggest region. Right, India most probably will in the next future overtake France as a number three country after China and the US. So for us, it's been a progressive and natural shift, acknowledging as well that Asia Pacific is definitely essential and strategic for the company and for our business today.
Mm-hmm. So you guys have been doing it for a long, long time. So I think it helps. Yes. And it pays off ultimately. One interesting question that we got from Mac Sullivan. He was saying that some interesting data that he quoted from McKinsey, using currently demonstrated technology, 90% of all clerical work could be automated already. So how will Schneider Electric go about handling this transformation as you try to balance productivity gains versus community relations?
Yeah, after I think if we go back in time, the idea of automation and the impact of the industrial revolution, and now is the IoT transformation, etc. impact, or artificial intelligence and what it means. For sure, I mean, for sure, some jobs will disappear, new jobs appear, and to me, there's a natural evolution, which is a good evolution, by the way, because I don't think anybody would like anymore to go back to the factories or the supply chain of 30 or 50 years ago, right? I think we're all happy with the transformation that has taken place. Along with the fact that we believe we are a global company, we act global, we also think local. When we go somewhere, we are there for long. Normally, we have, as I mentioned, we have, it takes a lot of, I should say, emotion to some extent for us when we have to close down and consolidate operations and factories. We always do it with a lot of respect for the people. I don't think we make much headlines anywhere in the world when it comes to union conflict and stuff, because we believe, and when I was a young plant manager, one of the things I was taught is unions are partners. They are there anyway, and it's good to have a partner to discuss with. So in general, for sure, balancing between efficiency and transformation versus community relations is important. But I want to think that the past years have showed us that we were able to do it quite well, and I'm quite confident we'll continue to do that.
Another question, and you've mentioned a little bit about the partnerships that you have with the universities here in Singapore. But in all honesty and in all truthfulness, supply chain typically is not seen as sexy or vibrant. It's not as interesting a lot of times as technology, for example. So how do you at Schneider Electric make it interesting, and how do you attract talent to supply chain?
Yeah, well, first of all, I don't think I agree with you, frankly. I think, the cliche of a supply chain / blue collar factory world, logistics 3PL being people who move boxes only, etc., are gone. I mean, they are from another century. I think supply chain is really, and a lot of companies realize today, by the way, that moving away from supply chain and outsourcing their supply chain was probably a mistake when they did that. For us, we also realize that supply chain, having an overall quite integrated supply chain is clearly a weapon when it comes to being a competitive advantage for customer satisfaction, for competitiveness, from pricing standpoint, etc. So we see it as a strong advantage. And as a consequence, also, there are a lot of opportunities for career in the supply chain. I remember when I was in India, when I used to live in India, it's almost 10 years ago now, we used to advertise, we're not going to offer you just a job, we're going to offer you a career. And a career which is going to be made of different steps and different moves that can be also horizontal moves within a supply chain or outside of the supply chain. So to me, it's not so difficult to attract people to supply chain, and I would say less and less personally. When it comes to why students from university choose Schneider Electric for supply chain role, I think also if we have taken the time, or if I had taken enough time to understand the complexity of our supply chain, the diversity of our supply chain, the opportunities behind, and the track record of also having walked the talk of providing opportunities to the people. And we've had women as a plant managers in Indonesia or in India or in China for years. We've been sending talents from Asia to Europe as expats for years, and not only the thinking that Westerners are the expat and the Asians are local. Yeah, it's been a momentum both ways. We have I've got a lot here in Singapore of expats from neighborhood countries, whether it's Malaysia, of course, but also even Vietnam or China, etc. So once we've been given the chance to explain the career and the opportunity of supply chain, it's pretty simple and easy to attract people and to retain them as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great to hear that. Yasir had a question in terms of the future skill sets that you think are required for supply chain and business leaders in order to thrive in the ever changing business world.
Yes, one thing, and I mentioned it at the beginning of the conversation, is the business acumen. I mean, not to stay in your supply chain silo. One thing. The second thing, which is normally a strength of supply chain people, when I compare, at least I feel what I've learned over the years, is to be quite down to earth. I mean, supply chain people are by definition operational, hands on, and I think that's a strength in general when it comes to career development and opportunities providing. And then the second thing is also, and again, supply chain has been evolving so much in the past 20, 30 years. With clearly an acceleration in the last 3 to 5 years. So being always able to learn, being ready for change, being curious and willing to learn new things. That would be the attributes I would like to highlight.
Mm. Moving on to the final segment, which is a couple of personal questions. I think this one is one that a lot of people are wondering, because after 20 years and you've had so many different roles in supply chain, you've done pretty much every function that you could have done. You're now driving the full P&L of one of the largest country organizations of Schneider Electric. How have you managed to make this shift? Any challenges, any learnings that you can share with us?
First of all, let me be clear that it's not because I started to think that supply chain was boring. All right, I think I'm really really impressed and always excited to look and listen at the transformation and the speed of transformation and in the supply chain with the opportunities behind. Making a shift and a move to the business has been in my mind for more than 10 years, frankly speaking. And for many, many good reasons, there was always something that made me stay in the supply chain world. When I was in China, eventually was to handle and to create for Schneider Electric the procurement purchasing team for Schneider Electric in China. Because in 2005-06, we realized that we started to have a very strong supplier base in China that we need to open to the rest of the world. And this procurement purchasing team and supplier base was very fragmented, so I stayed in supply chain by then. After moving to India and contributing to a lot of acquisition, there were also opportunities to move to the business, but there was a deeper work to be done in terms of the integration of these acquisitions, etc., etc. So there's been in the past 10 years a few missed opportunities, but I don't regret them at all, frankly speaking. Now, kind of for everyone, the clock is always tickling. So I was kind of thinking, well, look, if I continue to make move in supply chain, it's going to become more and more difficult for me to change my career and to try something else. And then I was always also curious about, well, I believe we have one of the best, if not the best, supply chain in the world. Our footprint is very clear. The performance is good. How come we cannot grow more, right? So I wanted to really understand the business dimension better. I thought I knew it all from a supply chain seat. So I really wanted to move to this kind of role. And I was very lucky to be given the opportunity to lead a Singapore organization for Schneider Electric. Now, you ask me about the learning and the change. Well, the learning, the past 12 months have been a very impressive machine, or learning machine, or learning experience. And sometimes I felt like I was in a washing machine, actually, taking or learning on the ground from different things. The most complicated for me, or the most difficult for me, has been to accept to lose sometimes, frankly speaking, because when you are in a supply chain, I'm not going to say it's simple, but when you face issues and difficulties, when I was struggling with one of our factories, etc., you bring in more resources, you select the top guys to turn around things, you bring the support, you invest, and you turn around the situation. Or at least, if you give up, you would decide to give up, right? When you're on the commercial side, if your competitor is just better than you, if the customer has just decided that he will work with your competitor, that's it. You have to accept. And at the end of the day, you can play a fantastic game and probably the best game you believe your team has played so far. The only thing people will remember after a few weeks is the score, in the final score. And that's, to me, that's what has been the most challenging and difficult to accept at the beginning, I'd say, moving into a commercial role.
Mm-hmm. And also now the tables have turned, and obviously you're a lot more focused in Singapore and on the Singapore organization, and you're the leader of the Schneider Electric in Singapore. Obviously, you're one of the top influencers of the culture of the organization. What are some of the leadership principles that you follow in your day-to-day work?
Yeah, well, I mean, these are leadership principles are, I think, quite common, frankly, across the organization. People who join Schneider Electric would find that the company is pretty, I would say, informal. I mean, the idea of open door policy is a word that we never use this word, frankly, in Schneider Electric. So, again, simple people or simple leadership and management, accessible, able also to have a tactical day-to-day operational conversation as well as strategic conversations. This also probably comes from the fact that Schneider Electric has always been very strong on the acquisition side, so always on the thinking, on the strategy about the new acquisition, new development, etc., but at the same time, pretty efficient in running the day-to-day business and operations. And then after, another leadership principle would be about really building bridges. I spent a lot of time connecting the team, connecting the people within the organization with one common goal, which is to satisfy the customer.
Mm. And what on in terms of habits and in terms of what makes us successful at the end of the day, and what makes you successful, What's a personal habit that contributes to your success?
Yeah, there's sometimes people could think it's a bad habit, and I believe you as I learned it from my supply chain / manufacturing days, is probably to be too hands-on. When you're a plant manager, my thinking was always when I arrive in the morning is to walk around my workshop, say hello to the people, and within 10-15 minutes, you have a sense of how your day is going to go.
Yeah.
Right. You will see on the face of the people in the workshop, on the few KPIs on the board here, if you're going to have if the day is looking good or if it's definitely going to be
a long day.
a long, difficult day. And I think this has stayed with me, so to be kind of quite hands-on when it's required, with the customers, with the teams, not to run away from the problems, but to face them very early. And this, I realized that customers appreciate it a lot. They're kind of very often surprised that last Friday night, for example, I was on the construction site because there's a big hotel coming up where we were a supplier and there were a few issues with the products we deliver. Where I went on the site on the Friday night to meet the local contractors and to hear their voice. They were very surprised that I would go alone without even the sales guy, etc. So sometimes it can be painful for the team, but I would say this personal habit to me, I think, is helping me a lot in my learning journey on the commercial side, and then to also be continuously curious to learn new things. Mm. I think that's even more important nowadays with all the digital transformation. We have all of us to remain very, very curious and accept that, learning is never finished and there's always something new to learn.
Mm. And final question, and good sharing if you may, in terms of the people that are now younger, graduating university, they want to achieve a great long career. What would you tell them in order to do that?
Yeah, after we have to be careful, all of us. When you move into more, you get more senior, I would say, not to sound like you're giving advice or grandfathering, but if I reflect on my career and I see, of course, things nowadays are moving much faster. I mean, it's an open world, right? It's a small world. Now, people should not forget. And when I reflect again on my career, I think it's still important to build your base, to build your foundation. And for that, you have to also be a little bit patient sometimes, I feel. To really learn some hard skills along with soft skills at the beginning of your career. At the same time, and there's no opposition between that, to always be, I mentioned it earlier, to always be curious, to always volunteer for new things. I would say, for me, there's been so many opportunities, and my career has been made of opportunities, which where I was the right person for the job at the right time, because of course I had performed, I believe, quite well in what I was supposed to do, but I also had showed interest in other things, and I think somehow one of the reasons why I was very lucky by you mentioned Tommy Leung or Jean-Pascal Tricoire earlier for giving me the opportunity to move into a commercial role, but also they felt that even though I was perceived and known as a strong supply chain, I would say, expert or leader within Schneider Electric, had demonstrated the business sense and the commercial sense that would make me successful on the commercial side, basically. So being very strong in what you're supposed to do, building your base and foundation there, but also not hesitating to raise your hand, to take additional challenges and somehow to learn different things.
Mm. Damien, pleasure. Great insights. Thank you very much for your time today. And thank you for sharing with us all this relevant information and journey and transformation stories. It's been a pleasure and we'll be in touch soon.
Thank you, Radu. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you liked what you heard, be sure to follow us on radupalamariu.com/podcast for all the show notes, links and extra tips covered in the interview. Make sure also to subscribe to our emailing list to get the news in the nick of time. If you're listening through a streaming platform like iTunes or Stitcher and you like what we do, please kindly review and give us 5 stars so we can keep the energy flowing and get more people to find out about our podcast. I'm most active on LinkedIn, so do feel free to follow me to stay tuned for our latest articles as well as future guests for the podcast. And if you have any suggestions or any other idea, please feel free to write to me. I respond to all. And also, please make sure not to miss our next episode, where we will be having a few other C-level and top leaders in supply chain joining us. Stay tuned.